We are beginning chapter 28 of Harry Potter and the Goblet of Fire, called The Madness of Mr. Crouch.
Mm-mm. I want to see the picture.
This picture. I think it's Winky.
Oh, it's Winky. She's wait, push it closer to me.
It's funny that
the, oh, Winky.
It's funny that the house elf is the same name as Therese.
I know. Keep waiting.
Harry, Ron, and Hermione went up to the Owlery after breakfast on Sunday to send a letter to Percy, asking, as Sirius had suggested, whether he had seen Mr. Crouch lately. They used Hedwig because it had been so long since she'd had a job. When they watched her fly out of sight through the Owlery window, they proceeded down to the kitchen to give Dobby his new socks. The house elves gave them a very cheery welcome, bowing and curtsying and bustling around making tea again. Dobby was ecstatic about his present. "Harry Potter is too good to Dobby," he squeaked, wiping the large tears out of his enormous eyes. "You saved my life with that gillyweed, Dobby, you really did," said Harry. "No more chance of these eclairs." Wait, what? Oh, right, because they got the... Okay. "No more chance... No chance of more of those eclairs, is there?" said Ron, who was looking at the beaming and bowing house elves. "You've just had breakfast," said Hermione irritably, but a great silver platter of eclairs was already zooming toward them, supported by four elves. "We should get some stuff to send to Snuffles," Harry muttered. "Good idea," said Ron. "Give Pig something to do. You couldn't give us a bit of extra food, could you?" he said to the surrounding elves, and they bowed delightedly and hurried off to get some more. "Dobby, where's Winky?" said Hermione, who was looking around. "Winky's over there by the fire..." Wait, that's not right.
Yeah.
"Winky's over there by the fire, miss," said Dobby quietly, his ears drooping slightly. "Oh, dear," said Hermione, as she spotted Winky. Harry looked over at the fireplace, too. Winky was sitting on the same stool as last time, but she'd allowed herself to become so filthy she was not immediately distinguishable from the smoke-blackened brick behind her.
Mm-hmm.
Her clothes were ragged and unwashed. She was clutching a bottle of butterbeer and swaying slightly on her stool, staring into the fire. As they watched her, she gave an enormous hiccup.
"Winky is getting through 6 bottles a day,"
Dobby whispered to Harry. "Well, it's not strong, that stuff," said Harry. "Wait, is it really alcoholic?"
"I guess, I don't know."
"They let the kids have it?"
"I guess so."
"I guess if it's not that strong."
"Right."
But Dobby shook his head.
"It's strong for a house elf, sir."
Winky hiccuped again. The elves who had brought the chains gave her disapproving looks as they returned to work.
"Winky's pining, Harry Potter,"
Dobby whispered sadly.
"Winky wants to go home. Winky still thinks Mr. Crouch is her master, sir, and nothing Dobby says will persuade her that Professor Dumbledore is her master now."
"Hey, Winky," said Harry, struck by sudden inspiration, walking over to her and bending down. "You don't know where Mr. Crouch might be up to, do you? Because he's stopped turning up to judge the Triwizard Tournament." Winky's eyes flickered, her enormous pupils focused on Harry. She stopped swaying slightly and then said,
"Master, stop coming?"
"Yeah," said Harry. "We haven't seen him since the first task. The Daily Prophet's saying he's ill." Winky swayed some more, staring blurrily at Harry.
"Master, ill?"
Her bottom lip began to tremble. "We're not sure if that's true," said Hermione quickly.
"Master's needing his Winky,"
whispered the elf.
"Master cannot manage all by himself."
"Other people manage to do their own housework, you know, Winky," Hermione said severely.
"He's not only doing housework for Mr. Crouch,"
Winky squeaked indignantly, swaying worse than ever and slopping butterbeer down her already heavily stained blouse.
"Master's trusting Winky with his most important, the most secret..."
"What?" said Harry. But Winky shook her head very hard, spilling more butterbeer down herself.
"Winky keeps his master's secrets,"
she said mutinously, swaying very heavily, frowning up at Harry with her eyes crossed.
"You is nosing, you is. "He must not talk like that to Harry Potter," said Dobby angrily. "Harry Potter is brave and noble, and Harry Potter is not nosy."
"Yes, he is."
"He's nosing into my master's private secret. Winky's a good house elf. Winky keeps her silence. People trying to pry, poke."
Winky's eyelids drooped, and suddenly, without warning, she slid off her stool into the hearth, snoring loudly. The empty bottle of butterbeer rolled away across the stone-flagged floor. Half a dozen elves came hurrying forward, looking disgusted. One of them picked up the bottle. The others covered Winky with a large check tablecloth and tucked the ends in neatly, hiding her from view.
"We're sorry to see that you had to see that, sirs and miss,"
squeaked a nearby elf, shaking his head and looking very ashamed.
"We's hoping you will not judge us all by Winky, sirs and miss."
"She's unhappy," said Hermione, exasperated. "Why don't you try to cheer her up instead of covering her up?"
"Begging your pardon, miss,"
said the house elf, bowing deeply again.
"But house elves has no right to be unhappy when there's work to be done and masters to be served."
"Oh, for heaven's sake," Hermione cried. "Listen to me, all of you. You've got just as much right as wizards to be unhappy." "You've got to be unhappy, that's weird. You've got the right to wages and holidays and proper clothes. You don't have to do everything you're told. Look at Dobby."
"Miss, will please keep Dobby out of this?"
Dobby mumbled, looking scared. The cheery smiles had vanished from the faces of the house elves. They were suddenly looking at Hermione as though she were mad and dangerous.
"We has your extra food,"
squeaked an elf at Harry's elbow, shoving a large ham, a dozen cakes, and some fruit into Harry's arms.
"Goodbye."
The house elves crowded around Harry, Ron, and Hermione and began shunting them out of the kitchen, many little hands pushing in the smalls of their backs.
"Thank you for your socks, Harry Potter,"
Dobby called miserably from the hearth, where he was standing next to the lumpy tablecloth that was Winky. "You couldn't keep your mouth shut, could you?"
"I know, Hermione, you're fucking stupid,"
Ron said angrily as the kitchen door slammed behind them. "They won't want us visiting them now. We could have tried to get more stuff out of Winky about Crouch." "Oh, as if you care about that," Hermione scoffed. "You only like coming down here for the food."
"Okay, but she should be, like, sad or whatever, like, repentant, because they could have been getting the info and food for Snuffles."
"Right. Like how you call them Snuffles."
"I like the name."
"Snuffleupagus."
"Yeah."
It was an irritable sort of day after that. Harry got so tired of Ron and Hermione sniping at each other over their homework in the common room that he took Sirius's food up to the owlery that evening on his own. Pidwidgeon was much too small to carry an entire ham up the mountain by himself, so Harry enlisted the help of two school screech owls as well. When they had set off into the dusk, looking extremely odd carrying the large package between them, Harry leaned on the windowsill, looking out at the grounds, at the dark rustling treetops of the Forbidden Forest, and the rippling sails of the Durmstrang ship. An eagle owl flew through the coil of smoke rising from Hagrid's chimney. It soared toward the castle, around the Owlery, out of sight. Looking down, Harry saw Hagrid digging energetically in front of his cabin. Harry wondered what he was doing. It looked as though he were making a new vegetable patch. As he watched, Madame Maxime emerged from the Beaubaton carriage and walked over to Hagrid. She appeared to be trying to engage him in conversation. Hagrid leaned upon his spade, but did not seem to be keen to prolong their talk because Madame Maxime returned to her carriage shortly afterward. Unwilling to go back to Gryffindor Tower and listen to Ron and Hermione snarling at each other, Harry watched Hagrid digging until the darkness swallowed him, and the owls around Harry began to awake, swishing past him into the night. Continue. By breakfast the next day, Ron and Hermione's bad moods had burnt out, and to Harry's relief, Ron's dark predictions that the house elves would send substandard food up to the Gryffindor table because Hermione had insulted them proved false. The bacon, eggs, and kippers were quite good as usual. It's a kipper.
There's a little sausage.
Okay. When the post owls arrived, Hermione looked up eagerly. She seemed to be expecting something. Percy won't have time to answer yet, said Ron. We only sent Hedwig yesterday. No, it's not that, said Hermione. I've taken out a subscription to the Daily Prophet. I'm getting sick of finding everything out from the Slytherins. Good thinking, said Harry, looking up at the owls. Hey, Hermione, I think you're in luck. A gray owl was soaring down towards Hermione. It hasn't got a newspaper, though, she said, looking disappointed. It's... But to her bewilderment, the gray owl landed in front of her plate, followed closely by four barn owls, a brown owl, and a tawny. How many subscriptions did you take out? Said Harry, seizing Hermione's goblet before it was knocked over by the cluster of owls, all of whom were jostling close to her, trying to deliver their own letter first. You okay?
Mm-hmm.
What on earth? Said Hermione, taking the letter from the gray owl, opening it and starting to read. Oh, really? She sputtered, going rather red. What's up? Said Ron. It's... How ridiculous. She thrust the letter at Harry, who saw that it was not handwritten, but composed of pasted letters that seemed to have been cut out of the Daily Prophet. You are a wicked girl. Harry Potter deserves better. Go back where you came from, Muggle. They're all like it, said Hermione desperately, opening one letter after another. Harry Potter can do much better than the likes of you. You deserve to be boiled in frog spawn. Ouch! She opened the last one, and a yellowish-green liquid, smelling strongly of petrol, gushed over her hands, which began to erupt in large yellow boils. Undilated bobo tuber pus, said Ron, picking the envelope gingerly and sniffing it. Ow, said Hermione, tears starting in her eyes as she tried to rub the pus off her hands with a napkin. But her fingers were now so thickly covered in painful sores that it looked as though she were wearing a pair of thick, knobbly gloves. You'd better get up to the hospital wing, said Harry, as the owls around Hermione took flight. We'll tell Professor Sprout where you've gone. I warned her, said Ron, as Hermione hurried out of the great hall, cradling her hands. I warned her not to annoy Rita Skeeter. Look at this one. He read out of one of the letters Hermione left behind. I read in Witch Weekly about how you're playing Harry Potter false. That boy is at enough hardship, and I'll be sending you a curse by next post as soon as I can find a big enough envelope. Blimey, she better watch out for herself. Hermione didn't turn up for herbology. As Harry and Ron left the greenhouse for their Care of Magical Creatures class, they saw Malfoy, Crabbe, and Goyle descending the stone steps of the castle. Her Pansy Parkinson was whispering and giggling behind them with her gang of Slytherin girls. Catching sight of Harry, Pansy called, "Hey, Potter, have you split up with your girlfriend? Why was she so upset at breakfast?" Harry ignored her. Didn't want to give her the satisfaction of knowing how much trouble the Witch Weekly article had caused. Hagrid, who told them that last lesson they had finished with unicorns. Hagrid, who had told them last lesson that they had finished with unicorns, was waiting for them outside his cabin with a fresh supply of open crates at his feet. Harry's heart sank at the sight of the crates, surely not another Scroot hatching. But when he got near enough to look inside, he found himself looking at a number of fluffy black creatures with long snouts. Their front paws were curiously flat like spades, and they were blinking at the class, looking politely puzzled at all the attention. They're Nifflers, said Hagrid, when the class had gathered around. You can find them in mines, mostly. They like sparkly stuff. There you go, look. One of the Nifflers had suddenly leapt up and attempted to bite Pansy Parkinson's watch off her wrist. She shrieked and jumped backward. Useful little treasure detectors, said Hagrid happily. Thought we'd have some fun with them today. See over there? He pointed at the large patch of freshly turned earth Harry had watched him digging from the ROE. I've buried some gold coins. I've got a prize for who picks the Niffler that digs up most. Just take off all your valuables and choose a Niffler and get ready to set them loose. Nifflers.
They're so cute. I would like a Niffler.
Harry took off his watch.
I want a Niffler. And I want him to wear a big yellow bow. No, I mean a big pink bow. And it would be so cute. And it would be adorable.
and he would find shiny things for you.
Yeah.
Harry took off his watch, which he was wearing only out of habit, as it didn't work anymore. Stuffed it in his pocket. Then he picked a Niffler. It put its long snout in Harry's ear and sniffed enthusiastically. It was really quite cuddly. Hang on, said Hagrid, looking down at the crate. There's a spare Niffler. Who's missing? Where's Hermione? She had to go to the hospital wing, said Ron. We'll explain later, Harry muttered. Pansy Parkinson was listening. It was easily the most fun they'd ever had in a Care of Magical Creatures class. The Nifflers dived in and out of the patch of earth as though it were water, scurrying back to the student who had released it and spitting gold in their hands. Ron's was particularly efficient. It had soon filled his lap with gold. Can you buy these as pets, Hagrid? He asked excitedly as his Niffler dived back into the soil, splattering his robes. Your mum wouldn't be happy, Ron, said Hagrid, grinning. They wreck houses, Nifflers. I reckon they've got the lot now. He added, pacing around the patch of earth while the Nifflers continued to dive. I only buried 100 coins. There, Hermione. Hermione was walking towards them across the lawn. Her hands were heavily bandaged. And she looked miserable. Pansy Parkinson was watching her beadily. Well, let's check how you done, said Hagrid. Count your coins. There's no point trying to steal any Goyle, he added, his beetle-black eyes narrowing. It's the leprechaun gold. Vanishes after a few hours. Goyle emptied his pockets, looking extremely sulky. Turned out that Ron's Niffler had been most successful, so Hagrid gave him an enormous slab of Honeyduke's chocolate for a prize.
Mm.
The bell rang across the grounds for lunch. The rest of the class set off back to the castle, but Harry, Ron, and Hermione stayed behind to help. Harry noticed Madame Maxine watching them out of the carriage window. What you done to your hands, Hermione? Said Hagrid, looking concerned. Hermione told him about the hate mail that she had received that morning. The envelope filled with Bobotuber pus.
Don't worry, said Hagrid gently, looking down at her. I got some of those letters and I'll have to read a skitter about my mom. You're a monster and you should be put down. Your mother killed innocent people. If you had any decency, you'd jump in a lake.
No, said Hermione, looking shocked. Yeah, said Hagrid, heaving the Niffler crates over by his cabin wall. They're just nutters, Hermione. Don't open them if you get any more. Chuck them straight in the fire. You missed a really good lesson, Harry told Hermione as they headed back toward the castle. They're good Nifflers, aren't they, Ron? Ron, however, was frowning at the chocolate Hagrid had given him. He looked thoroughly put out about something. What's the matter? Said Harry. Wrong flavor?
No, said Ron shortly. Why didn't you tell me about the gold? What gold? Said Harry. The gold I gave you at the Quidditch World Cup, said Ron. The gold I gave you for my omnioculars in the top box. Why didn't you tell me it disappeared? Harry had to think for a moment before he realized what Ron was talking about. Oh, he said, the memory coming back to him at last. I don't know. I never noticed it was gone. I was more worried about my wand, wasn't I? They climbed the steps in the entrance hall and went to the great hall for lunch. Must be nice, said Ron abruptly, when they had sat down and started serving themselves Yorkshire pudding and roast beef. To have so much money that you don't notice if a pocket full of galleons goes missing? Listen, I had other stuff on my mind that night, said Harry impatiently. We all did, remember?
I didn't know leprechaun gold vanished, Ron muttered. I thought I was paying you back. You shouldn't have given me that Chudley Cannon hat for Christmas. Forget it, all right, said Harry. Ron speared a roast potato on the end of his fork, glaring at it. Then he said, I hate being poor. Harry and Hermione looked at each other. Neither of them knew what to say. It's rubbish, said Ron, still glaring at his potato. I don't blame Fred and George for trying to make some extra money. Wish I could. Wish I had Niffler. Well, we know what to get you for next Christmas, said Hermione brightly. And then, when Ron continued to look gloomy, she said,
Come on, Ron. It could be worse. At least your fingers aren't full of pus. Hermione was having a lot of difficulty managing her knife and fork. Her fingers were so stiff and swollen. I hate that Skeeter woman, she burst out savagely. I'll get her back for this if it's the last thing I do.
Good for Hermione.
That's good. Should we stop?
Yeah.
Okay. We'll stop there. I hope you like that, my kitty.
Yeah.
You like that?
Yeah. Mwah. I like nifflers. You're cute.
Do you want a niffler?
Yeah.
We'll get you a niffler. Okay. You can watch. Say goodnight.
Goodnight.
Night, Carrie Boo. You're a very sweet girl. I love you very much.